Dear Father, today as we journey into the Word, I turn myself over to You. And Father, may Your people hear what I have to say. Father, may they get it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 22. I had a man in a men's warehouse, men's clothing store one time. He recognized me and started preaching to me. And Matthew 19, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Matthew 19. And he started preaching to me, and he made this statement. He says, all the Old Testament saints, I can relate to them. Because they all relate back to me personally. I says, really? And he says, yeah. He says, don't they kind of relate to you? I says, well, some of the stories do, yes. But really, I like to relate to Christ. Because after all, I have to be conformed into His image. And he says, well, that's an interesting thought. I ask him how long he'd been going to church. Been in church over 20-some years. He was a young guy, so he was basically raised in church. And I just thought it was funny. He said that that was an interesting thought. And I said, well, you know, that's a New Testament principle. We've been changed into His image. I said, but I love going back and reading in the Old Testament, you know, the stories of the Old Testament saints and how they could relate to our personal life in some areas, you know. And I says, but really, I'm so much into the New Testament, and I understand that regardless of what I'd relate to back there, I have to be changed into the image of Christ. And he could understand that. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto them, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? It's pretty interesting. Money has that kind of power. We've been learning that in our Sunday school class. Amen. But look at verse 19 again. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that interesting? What law did he break to be taken out? He couldn't love his neighbor as himself. Well, how do you figure that out? He had covetousness working in his heart. He had great possessions. He had covetousness, so he broke one of the laws. Till I understood the book of 1 John, I never really understood Matthew 22:36 through 40. I never understood it until I understood the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, the blessings of God go this way. Here's God. Here's God. And here's you. So from God to you comes a blessing. And then from you, it goes to your neighbor. We have Christians. They have a desire to serve the kingdom of God, but they're trying to make too much provision in their natural so they can afford time for God. Over the years, since I saw 1 John as it was in its entirety, I like to ask people, what did you ever learn about 1 John that changed you? 1 John taught me that if I miss the mark with God in anything that I do, it's because it's my neighbor that I miss the mark with God with. Because he says if he can't remove sin between you and your brother, he says then death will enter in. It'll enter into the relationship with your brother. It'll enter into the flesh and quite possibly your spirit. It'll cost you tremendously. That if you can't love your neighbor as much as you love God, you're in a horrible position. It cuts the blessings of God off from your life. And here's why. Because God has to be loved first so that the blessings go directly to you, so that those blessings go to your neighbor. And you know why this is called a royal commandment? The second one likened unto the first. It's called a royal commandment. And this is what I've learned about walking with my Lord. It gets harder in my flesh because I have to be more truthful with my neighbor. But the problem is I have faults of my own. And in a relationship with your neighbor, one who's not loving the Lord with his whole heart, the first thing he's going to view through his eyes to you is your faults. He's not going to see your upside. He's going to see your downside. Goes with the territory. Jesus said, if you want the evil day to stay away from you, there's something you've got to learn to do. Well, what do I got to learn to do? Remove the chip that you see in your neighbor and deal with the log that's in you. Now, when I learned to love the Lord with my whole heart, everything that's within me, matter of fact, turn to Matthew 22 there. Matthew 22. The same lawyer asked him the same thing, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know what? This word for soul here, and all thy strength. Is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hinges on this. To loving God with everything that's within you and your neighbor is yourself. One thing that we never look at is self. We always kind of skim over that. But you know what? I looked the Greek word up for love there, and it's agape. I've wondered for years. I saw it in 1 John. I found it. I wondered for years, how do you love yourself and your neighbor as equal? This is not a dirty word, okay? But I have some books up my office called How to Counsel with People. I had this one book that's real interesting. When they were talking about counseling with people with wrong attitudes, you know what they said? They made this bold statement. And then when I saw it in this one book, I found it in many of these other books. And conflict with people, whether it's your wife, friends, church, workers, employment, no matter where you go, all conflict comes out of the heart of what a person thinks of himself. They said most of the time when conflict between two parties occur, one always will initiate or receive from the other one, first of all, the position their heart's in. So if I find fault in my neighbor, it's because there's something in me working there first. And it just reflects to my neighbor. Actually, in the Greek, it says you're to love the Lord with your whole strength. The word for strength is a real interesting word. It is a Greek word, ischus, and it's coming from the fact of ruling power. And I never knew that when I turned to love the Lord with everything that's within me, it's because I made a decision to let Him be the Lord of my life in ruling authority. And the only one that can cause me not to follow the authority of my Lord is me. And so whenever something is at work within my heart, in that fellowship with the Lord, the first thing He has to do is take me to a place of where I am at complete peace with myself. And I am totally at rest with everything around me because I'm at peace with myself. And in order for God to do that, you know what He has to do? He has to remove all those little things that happen to you along the road that created things in your heart that would cause you to have the wrong self-image working in your heart. You know, Jude's very interesting. He said that in the last days, Christian believers in the church would rise up and have the wrong attitude. They would be murmurers and complainers, and they would be sensual, having not the Spirit. In other words, they'd open their mouth and everything that would come out is either what mankind has done to them or the position that they have in a mindset taken with people and not realizing that God will not allow you to dwell there. So you have to be at peace with yourself. Have you ever thought about that? So what is it that happens to me in my fellowship with the Father, and I put Him at the preeminence? I mean, I have a love for Him. That's the first thing that God does. He removes me from any harm or hurt that someone else has done for me, He removes that from me. Because the harm or the hurt or the thought processes that formed me into a position that God's not approved of, God has to remove that from me so that I can develop in love for myself, and then that'll go over to my neighbor. You know, it's very interesting. Just recently we had that fresh understanding about the sin nature and how it has always operated in this natural world. It operates in our body right now. Our bodies are not free from the nature to sin. That's why we had to get born again, so that we have a power over our body, our flesh. And you know, I remember the story of Joseph. How many of you have ever read that story? Yeah, I was thinking about how the Old Testament believers did follow Christ after their spirit. They weren't born again, but they knew God after the spirit. Especially the prophets. Lord, open his eyes so he can see that there's more with us than it's there. They knew about the realm of the Spirit. But look at Joseph. You know who hated him? Family. And you know what? They envied him. Why? Papa got him a brand new wardrobe. Papa was always doing something special for little Josephus. And so the brothers said, hey, let's get rid of this dude. So they did. He ended up in Egypt. And you know what Joseph did? He had contact with God. He loved the Lord with his whole heart. And so he gets this favored position with the king. So the devil steps in. And says, hey, Joseph, let's go to bed. And Joseph says, can't do that. He didn't give in to his flesh. And guess where he ended up? Prison. You know how long he was there? 7 years. Now, can you imagine? Here you are, loving the Lord with your whole heart and everything. You're blessed. Your family's doing great things. And then your brothers and sisters get ticked off and do something to sell you out. You end up in another country. And all of a sudden, you and God got something going. And all the while, Joseph misses family. I wonder if we would really look at it from the viewpoint of today. How would you feel if your brothers and sisters sold you out? You ended up in some third world foreign country. Kind of like negative attitude. Some would develop a negative attitude. And so Joseph ends up in prison. So you know what Joseph said? God, why are you doing this to me? No, he didn't. He was saying, I know why I'm here. Why? I wouldn't mess with the devil. So while I'm here, let's see how God can work where I'm at. Oh, I know what I can do. And he ends up in a good position in prison. Now, he could have said, you know, God, time's running short, man. You could come any day. I can't stand being here. I'm being limited. I mean, these people are stopping a move of God. God always had a move planned for Joseph. He had him. Right where God had Joseph right where he was. Did you know that? Did you guys know Joseph was where God wanted him? He wanted him in the land of Egypt. He didn't want him in jail. So who put him in jail? Devil. Have you guys ever thought the devil works against you when you want to start doing the will of God in your life? Do you know he shows up once in a while?
Why? To get you off course. To get you hating everything and everybody. And so you lose contact with God. So then the devil can take you down the road and completely wipe you totally out. That's his main goal. And so what does Joseph do? Finally, one of the servants says, hey, this guy knows how to interpret dreams. Get Joseph out of jail and let him interpret a dream. He interprets a dream and he has favor again. And the first thing that Joseph does is he wants to reach back to those who put him in the weird spot he ended up. Well, you know what God did? He said, Joseph, just think of all that you've gone through. You were still in my perfect will anyway. See, he could have denied the position of strength that he had in God if he let everything around him disturb his heart. He kept his heart right. And guess what? The story is so beautiful about how his brothers came and they were joined back together. And he saved all of Israel through a famine. Praise God. God loves you. God loves me. God hates darkness to dwell in us. He wants to remove all darkness from us. And sometimes people have a tendency to allow darkness to remain in our thinking, our mouth, and our actions. And we've got to do away with it. God will justify you. Listen, and God will bring judgment. And He is the justifier of those who do you wrong. You're not to take that position. You're to rise above it. Because, you see, Satan wants to use people. He wants to do everything he can to destroy your inner person. I was telling my class this morning that one thing that Satan works off of is low self-esteem. But one thing God works off is your inner strength that He's invested in you. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I like that, created. That is the Greek word poimeim. It means one who will put every effort he can conceivably put into reconstructing something that would have that person's full talent and ability in it. And God did that for you. Until you lower yourself to allow your inner person to be affected by what's happened to you, you will never love your neighbor as God wants you to. You never ever will. Never ever. Matter of fact, you'll go through life, contact with God, but you'll have no anointing for your neighbor. And it's sad to say many people lose their position with God because they don't know that they have to love their neighbor as much as they love God. Your neighbor is very important. He's the primary purpose for God to love. So what is it that causes you to turn your whole being towards God and love Him, and then you'll love your neighbor as yourself? Because what God does is when you and Him get connected together in the fellowship and you're there strong, God will sit there and put a value and a worth in your understanding. He will remove all darkness, put all light in you, and cause you to be at peace with yourself, to be at rest with yourself, and He will cause a love to grow in you of complete peace and contentment to where that is what will go over on your neighbor, and you are free from him because he can't touch you back in your life and touch your heart and make you think against God. Right. While you're free of him. Hallelujah. Whew. 4 years ago, I wanted out of ministry because I was too self-centered. I'm free of that now. I'm free. Why? You all ate the problem. Isn't that funny how that works? Lord, I'm such a good pastor. I'm trying to be the sweetest man on the face of the earth. But these people, the woman thou hast given me, are just like the nation of Israel, stiff-necked.
God said goodbye. You know, there was something in Moses. God knew it. God sure brought it to service. Hey, Moses. He says, these people are really bad, aren't they? And Moses said, yeah. He said, well, let's kill them and let's start all over. Moses said, no, 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 don't do that. I could pastor, providing God would meet my paycheck and you all died. Working with people is very complex because people make mistakes. I make mistakes. How do you respond to them? Do you take a negative view or do you take a positive position? Well, it's usually what's in your heart. What's really playing in your heart? Are you free inside? You know what? I said, Lord, how do I find a contentment with what's on the inside? He said, when God quits judging you in your heart. 1 John. He says, when God is against what you're thinking, you won't be at peace in your heart. Because it's God down in there working. Because He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He wants you to think good about people. And guess what? I'm your pastor, and I thought negative about you, and I had to deal with that. Why? Because my negative came more in my association with you personally rather than my position that God expects me to take in my relationship with you. See, my position with you was affecting me because you weren't perfect. So God, in my fellowship with Him, had to correct me of what was happening in me so that I wouldn't think negative toward you. Why? Because God cuts me off from where you trespass people's lives or even mine. God cuts me off of that and puts in me a love for you in spite of where you're at. That doesn't mean I'm void of discernment when people are wrong as a pastor. That's not what I'm saying. But it sure changes my desire for you and gives me a boldness to speak frankly with you so that there is no darkness between us. Well, that's where God wants you to be. That's where He wants you to be. But you can't love God with your whole heart. The same way God loves your neighbor. Because that's why unforgiveness is such an enemy of God. Because unforgiveness is everything that God is in existence in humanity. And you come against that whole thing. And that's why He said, if you can't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father put Himself into a position to forgive you. Just here recently, because I know that the sin nature works in the physical man. Now, I used to teach it works in the spirit, it doesn't. It works in the flesh of men. And that's when Paul said, evil is present with me. That meant that sin nature is at work in his physical body, his carnal mind. It's there all the time. It always has a voice. Before you got born again, you were one with it. When you got born again, you were circumcised from it. And listen, even into the future, until you get a new body, you always have this nature to sin against you in your carnal mind and your physical body. It always has enmity against the kingdom of God. Are you following me? And that's why God has to come down and sanctify you with every stroke of the brush of the Word of God. Sanctify you from any thought processes or any movement of your physical body. And what you have to do when you start seeing this, you have to learn how to balance your physical body with your spirit living in this realm. You have to begin to balance it out. Yes. Are you following me? Because the whole world lies in the wicked one. He's talking about Satan's rule is dust. It's flesh. It's the cosmos of this world. That's where he operates. He operates out of his realm through you giving yourself to your physical body. This really does something to desires, because then you begin to see what desires are really about. I have a desire in my flesh and I have a desire in my spirit. And these two desires oppose each other. Galatians chapter 5. He says, for the flesh desires against your spirit and your spirit against your flesh, so that you cannot do the things you want to do. When God put life into you, He put a consciousness against your body. And of course, what we do is when we put God first, we end up, what? Putting our physical being secondary to our spiritual. Well, that's the way it should be, but it's not that way. You will see an anointing begin to work in people's lives, whether it's of the body or it's of the spirit, by the way they think and by the way they do things. Now, you know what I thought was very interesting? Let's see. Where was that scripture? It's very interesting. Matthew 22. And let me take you someplace here. Matthew 22, go to verse 25. No, wait a minute, that's the wrong place. I must have wrote down the wrong scripture. Where is that, John? It talks about, is that in 19? He talked about, let me see. Just a minute. Hold on, folks. Well, anyway, there was one passage that talked about these two laws again. Maybe it was over in Luke. I'm not sure. How many of you remember the story of Martha? You know what that story is keyed off of? Love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul, and every soul. I think it's in Luke. Huh? It's Luke chapter 10. Yes. Turn there. I want you to see this before we quit. Luke 10. Yeah, that is the one. This is very interesting. Because Luke 10, notice verse 25. Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in law? How readest thou? And he answering, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, iskus. That means to turn your endowment over to another. All that you own in the natural goes back to him. And with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho and fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite. And when he was at the place, and came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came from where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Notice, he said the same thing again, but he put a little story in there. And you know the story because I've taught it to you in this body. Jerusalem to Jericho is known as the bloody way. It's a descent down. And when he was speaking to this young man knew law. He knew the law. He knew about the Levites and the priests. He knew the sacramental and sacrificial part of the law. He knew it all. And he was telling him that this man that was laying in the road of time was wounded and stripped. And actually, in Greek it says, leaving him half dead. He was physically alive, but he was spiritually separated from God. He was laying in the road of time. And he was telling him everything that you believe in couldn't help him pass by. But came along the Good Samaritan, reached out and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, both the type of the Holy Ghost in the new birth and also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and put him on his own beast. And Jesus said, take upon me my yoke. Take upon me my yoke, for my burden is easy and it's light. And took him to an inn, which is a type of the church, and said, take care of him, and I will see to it that when I return, and if he owes you even more than what I've given you to provide for him, I will repay you. He was talking about when he'd return for the man. He says, now tell me, who was my neighbor? And he says, well, the guy that showed mercy on him. The guy that showed mercy on him. You know what the story goes into? Watch this. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And what he was saying is, oh, there's a lot to do. But wouldn't it have been interesting if both of them sat down and just forgot about all the particulars and everything. Sat down. Let's just eat the good word of God. Speak to me, Jesus. Tell me some good things. But you see, the cares of this world will have a tendency to pull you apart. And it's funny how that story is right in there, right after he talks about the two laws of loving God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself, and goes into Adam. The story of Adam leaving mankind with no hope. And the priest and Levi. It's because in order for you to take that transformation from God to your neighbor, you've got to do something about yourself. If you're not content with where you're at, it's nobody's fault but you. And yet, the physical man has a tendency to want to blame everybody else for what they're not able to do. You got to get rid of that thinking in your head. Man cannot stop you. Only God. And there's some Christians just don't care whether they're walking after their flesh or after their spirit, because they're just not interested in the things of God. They got salvation, they got fire, proof, insurance, and that's about it. Trouble is, they make the whole body of Christ miserable because they want to dwell in amongst our feast, those of us that want to walk right. And that makes it very difficult, because then when conflict begins, it's always predicated on a pace of trying to remove somebody's sliver from them with people that have logs in themselves. God's not able to get them to a place of contentment with themselves so that they can help their neighbor. Do you know that most of the time when you look at the faults of others, it's because you are not at peace with your own faults? Hey, I'm preaching real good now. You got to get settled in your own heart where you're at with God. You got to have a clear conscience where you're at with God. And not with man. If you have a clear conscience where you're at with God, It helps cut off a whole lot of connections that other people connect themselves with you in your life.
How many of you remember my teaching on self-esteem, self-worth? How many of you remember what I said in order to get rid of self-worth or self-esteem? Well, what was the number one thing that I brought out the first point? I have my notes so I can remember. You have to put on truth. And the truth that you have to put on is about yourself. You can't put truth on for somebody else. You got to put it on yourself. You know, John Cook told me, he says, he was torturing his wife in such a way that finally God had to speak to him and said, as far as you're concerned, your wife's perfect. I got to deal with you. That's putting on truth. You've got to discover what you're like. What you're about. Because there's a deceitfulness that works in all of our heart. Every one of us has something that's deceitful. And what I'm saying is that we're not really aware of it because we can't see it, but everybody else can. That's the part in your fellowship with God He removes. Back in the 40s and 50s, there was a strong anointing on healing and the power of God moving and everything. But these people kept bringing a reproach back to the kingdom of God and all the power they were working in because their own character was not developed within them. And then people got confused. How can the power of God work and yet this guy lived this way? Well, what they did is they brought a reproach to the power of God because their relationship with man was perverted, but the relationship with God seemed just fine. And that's why today the church is not interested in the power of God. We got to get back to where we crave the power of God because we got a dying world out there that needs to be set free by the power of God. Amen. But God's not going to permit people to be used of the power and not have any relationship with mankind. Right. You can have all the power of God working in you want, but if you don't know how to walk with people, you're Zippo with me. You've got to change. You've got to make change within yourself. And only pure fellowship with God will do that. And the first thing God's going to do is deliver you from you. Why? So you can be free from your neighbor. So you got to put on truth. And you got to get an understanding how your mind is affected by being directly linked to the Word of God. And a lot of Christians don't know how to acquaint that. Why? Because they always say, boy, if so-and-so could have heard this. Boy, if so-and-so was only here this morning. They missed it. You know why they missed it? They might have needed it, but they're following suit. They woke up this morning and the body said, let's not go to church. Because the enemy knew, had the message just for them. And so they listened to the body. They're just following suit. How many of you love me? The book of 1 John taught me something. What? If I don't handle my neighbor properly, I end up in harm's way. Can you imagine if Joseph took on an attitude with his brothers? Listen, come here, you guys. So everybody flocks to Joseph. Listen, here's how I got here. And I'm telling you, I'm ticked off about it. So all the provision that I have, through the wisdom of God, accumulated for the land of Egypt and for the nation of Israel, I want you to open up lock, stock, and barrel. Carte blanche. Let them have what they need through the famine. But these brothers of mine, I'm going to display their name and they can't touch a thing. They come to the storehouse and you put a knife to them. Why? Got an attitude. You know what was working in Joseph's heart? I can't wait to show my brothers, my family, how I've forgiven them. That's why he did it the way he did. They fell on each other and wept. We need a good weeping service. Where we forgive each other. in spite of each other. Like what one brother said, if we quit fighting each other, we'd get a shot at the devil. Point number three, how to change yourself. Do not allow handicapped thinking to become permanent barriers. See, handicapped thinking is when you think wrong of people. When you think wrong of God. This is handicapped thinking. You've got to get rid of it. I didn't know it existed in me until I had to conduct my real dad's funeral. And I never knew how much bitterness was in my heart as I grew up and those roots got into me simply because my dad was never there for me. And I was asked to do his funeral and I got there, I was stunned because all this hatred just came out of me and I got to thinking, where in the world did that come from? Didn't even know it was there. I was lost for words. And so I gave words, but it was like something in the inside of me was going, you don't even believe this. Why are you even saying it? It's all a lie. Well, you know what? Here my dad was right with God. I didn't even know it. That's why God has to walk with you on a daily basis. He says, today is how you should live. Why? Because if you try to live for the future in God, you will always make provision for your flesh over that which is spirit. It will happen every time. It's a mindset. And that's how you live with people. If you live with people past tense, to live with them future tense, you're dead in the water. You have to wake up daily and make sure that people are not an issue in your heart so you can go on with God. And if you refuse to do that, you will neutralize your walk with God and you'll go on home to be a nutcase. And God will receive you. But I don't want to go to heaven like that. I wouldn't want to be like Paul said. I'll turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh so his soul would be saved. I don't want to go to heaven that way. If I got to go to heaven prematurely, I want to have the same experience Dean had. I want to be kicked out and sent back to earth because I still have value in me. What you doing here, Dean? Well, it wasn't my thing. Get out of here. Ships them right back to us good people. But there were a lot of Christians who permitted in, right? And God said, while I got them, I'm keeping them. I sent them back to earth, I could lose them. Because people, I'm telling you, it's important that you walk in the love of God because the love of God will get into your heart for your neighbor. That's what I'm telling you. It's how you will succeed in everything you put your hand to. You cannot succeed with God unless God can succeed with you so your neighbor benefits from it. Just because your neighbor done you wrong, guess what? You can be free from it anyway. No wonder Jesus was weird when these guys started hearing him preach the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. When was the last time you prayed for somebody to despitefully use you? Here's how you prayed. Oh God, do something with those idiots. Kill them or something. Get them out of my way so I can do my thing. Wrong kind of prayer. God forgive them. For they don't know what they do. Just forgive them, Lord. I do forgive them. You'll deliver me of the evil day because I've already forgiven them. Hallelujah, I forgave them. Let them go, Lord. Don't hold us to their account. Who said that? All the martyrs of the first New Testament said it. Stephen, being stoned, said, Father, forgive them. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. When people walk in darkness, don't expect light out of that. Give them grace. Give them space. Not only is it a good saying, it rhymes. Stand up, everybody. Yeah, I was watching Joyce Meyer the other day. How many of you, mostly ladies probably watch her, but you men ought to watch her too.
The other day she was talking. You know what I've noticed about Joyce Meyer? She has a way with words. Really good. She'll take an incident in the Bible and she'll relate this incident to you. And you're sitting there and you're laughing your head off because of how she associates your actions with it. And you're sitting there laughing. And I notice the camera's on this one lady and the lady goes, ha, 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 ha. And then she goes, and she's looking around, you know, like, well, I do that. We need to learn to think spiritually instead of physically all the time. This body will get you in trouble if you follow it in any way, shape, or form. It'll get you in trouble. And the more you feed it, the more addicted it becomes, because it's got the nature of death at work within it. And the only freedom you have is spiritual growth. You've got to grow spiritually. And if you allow people to come between you and God, then the blessings aren't flowing to you. You know what happens when your neighbor gets in the way? They get in between you and God. You know what that means? It means the blessings go to your neighbor, not you. It's very interesting. I see a man's spirit, and I see his body. I'm going to show you a mystery here. Hang on. I said, God, why did the blessings flow? Then all of a sudden they quit. He says, here's what happened. This is your spirit. This is your body. He said, everything that's in the blessings of God to man goes to his spirit. Not his body. Goes to his spirit. And from his spirit to the body goes the blessings. Here's what Christians do. They abandon their spiritual position, enter over in one with their flesh again, and they expect the blessings of God to flow on the physical body that you have surrendered to after you found Christ and hope that things will work out. And guess what? Nothing will work for you. Zip. Period. Over and out. The blessings won't flow. You've got to get back over where you belong and reckon this thing dead. Do you guys get that? Father, as we bow our heads today, we forgive our neighbors. Father, we do forgive them. Work directly with us, Father. I even forgive Green Bay. Anyway, so Father, as we do let people go, we forgive them, we want to be open-hearted before you. And we want you to work with our own person right now, our own self. And Father, speak to us in such a way that we discover ourselves through the Word of God. Show us by the Word where we're in error, where we can take our eyes off of people and put them on ourselves and work through that. Father, we need each other tremendously, because that's how our love grows. Not only for the Father, but for the body of Christ. So, Father, today, we all come before you in a state of repentance. We know that we need to work with this so that we have the same conviction for our neighbor that we have for you. Oh, Father, we're so far from that. Cause us to live out of that realm so that we know what love is. In Jesus' name. This morning, if you're here and you've never given your heart, life to the Lord, we want to open it up for you to come forward and receive Jesus. We had several last week do that. This morning, if you come to visit, you want to receive Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity. But if you've received Jesus and you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to lay hands on you for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you need physical healing, we want to pray for you as well. Now, I'm going to trust that every one of you repented at wrong thinking about your neighbor. And if you hadn't, we want to pray for that as well. So when we dismiss, please feel free to come forward. We have altar workers here ready to minister for you. But we want you to succeed in your walk with Jesus more than anything else. I do believe the time is short. And it's important how we walk with God.